Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being with us today. We had a rocky start in the day. That's the sector. I feel compassionate with the sell-side analysts today. If I try to make sense of what the markets have done, commodities are down, and I assume that insurance now seem to be a commodity. That's why we're down as well as the sector. Otherwise, I don't understand, but you'll probably tell me afterwards. Now, kidding aside, I'd like to report a little bit on how we did in the first quarter 2011. We'll have the usual procedure. I would probably need 35 to 40 minutes to go through the presentation, and then we should have sufficient time for questions and answers. I hope that we provide the appropriate ones. I'll try to focus a little bit in the segments on the most important issues to also free up some time for the specific issues and go along the way. A focal point will be net cat activity in the first quarter and overall, and you'll get some facts on those, I hope. Now, what's the message from Allianz Management on the first quarter? With 29.9 billion in revenues, recorded the second strongest quarter ever. The unfortunate thing for me as a CFO is that we always report relative to prior year quarter, which was the best we ever had in the history. So numbers look down, but in the longer term perspective, this is a very good quarter in terms of revenues. Operating profit at 1.7 is almost at the same level of prior year, despite severe net cat loss activity, far beyond what we had last year. So we feel this proves our resilience in the business model and the very nice diversification across our various segments. Net income is at 915. That surprised a few market observers. It's pretty clear it's due to lower non-operating profits. We had said last year, ICBC, the big gains we had in the first quarter of 522 million would not repeat themselves. That shouldn't have not come as a surprise. What's a little bit more surprising is the temporarily higher tax rate. That will normalize itself over the year to where we are always giving the outlook around 30%. Last year, the tax rate was significantly lower because of one-off effects we had again due to the Stiko ruling we had in Germany. Fourth comment that I have, our capital position continues to be strong relative to requirements. We feel comfortable to what we see out there, but in light of Solvency II, I'm not going to bore you forever, but I will do that again today. We need to be extremely cautious. Those that are closely watching the developments will not be surprised because the Commission threw up completely what we've been working on the last 2 years with new proposals to eradicate the liquidity premium and substitute it with something else. So we're having fun trying to adjust to the new environment. That reinforces our communication on, guys, let's be very careful in terms of making sure our balance sheets don't have to be bolstered by raising activity. We feel we're very well positioned in this light. So these are the overall messages. Let me please go through the various individual items. Page number four gives you the typical split across time on revenues, operating profit, and net income. And you see the development that reiterates the point that we try to make. Very strong revenue quarter, operating profit, resilient net income, lower due to non-operating and taxes. Now, shareholders' equity, we got a few questions on what that is. You're all pros, so I can assume it's pretty clear what the changes were and why we are a little lower than at the year end. While we had net income of 857 adding to equity, we had two positions that moved it into the negative zone. The reduction in unrealized gains due to high interest rates on the bond portfolio were around 1.1 billion, and then foreign exchange hit us with another 776 million to reduce the equity position that is expected with these market movements. Now, on the right-hand side, you see the various stresses on the equity side. The markets are reacting to it, even though it's not economics, because we obviously don't see the alleviation we get from higher rates on the liability side. The most severe shock is interest rates up 100 basis points plus equity markets down with 7.5 billion. Let me move on to the conglomerate solvency. This is a non-issue with 180 basis points. Here the key point is that this is not sensitive to interest rate movements. So we have an increase here that is reflected because we get full credit through the issuance of subordinated debt of 2 billion and the net income, net of accrued dividends, that is going up. This is difference, as you will see in a second, to our internal model, where we don't get the full credit on the issuance, but only a net effect, and now you see that in a second. The stress scenarios show that the impact on solvency is also very limited, and here the most severe sort of impact would have been equities down by itself 30%. As you all know, and let me remind you, unrealized gains on losses on bonds are neutralized in FCD. That's different, for example, to Switzerland and other markets. That's why our ratios are a little different from other companies. Now, the economic solvency is on page 7. It has improved by 11 points from the year end. Please remember, it's calibrated at a 3 basis points level, i.e. double A, which is more conservative than solvency II, but we also have a few things in like diversification effects, which are not clear whether they will come through under Solvency II. We feel that our internal model appropriately affects our risks at this point in time. I also like to remind you technically, before we get to the questions later, it includes the liquidity premium and the yield curve extension according to EIOPA guidelines that have been in line with QIS5 specifications. Yeah, so that's also important. The key change here is available capital increased to 54.6 billion. The positive impact of 3.5 billion is number one due to an increase in the present value of future profit that is not accounted for in IFRS on the back of higher interest rates by 2 billion and an increased hybrid capital by 1.5 billion. It includes the issuance of 2 billion hybrid and a buyback of $500 million hybrid. Now, it was counteracted by 900 million decrease in the equity position on the back of foreign exchange effects and lower unrealized gains. So that is also explains the differences between the economic solvency and the FCD. And I hope we don't need to spend a lot of time later on technicalities and computations. The right-hand side shows you the relative estimated impact of stresses. That is, this page actually should say estimated stress impact. And the most severe stress is the economic one, that is interest rates down by 100 basis points and equity markets up given the economic behavior of our guarantees, which is not reflected neither in IFRS or nor in the conglomerate directive. So that's the capital position. Again, we feel comfortable, but we also don't feel we are building huge amounts of excess capital because volatility from Solvency II rules in the last few weeks has increased, unfortunately not decreased, and we're hoping to get clarity over the course of the year. Good news is that by end of June, people need to finally come to terms with all of those proposals in Brussels. Now, page number 9, let's move on to the group numbers, give you the split up of the revenues and the various gross numbers. Again, relative to Q1, our record quarter, total growth stands at minus 2.2. P&C has been growing 1.8. Life is down, and we'll talk about that. That is special effects, particularly in France and in Italy. And then we have asset management powering ahead with a growth of 14.1%. The success story here continues. Now, operating profit picture is mixed on page number 10, and that's no surprise. Number one, because of NatCat on P&C, operating profit 663, life and health at 700. Now, before people start complaining, if you really multiply that by 4, you reach the upper end of our target communicated target range of 2.8, so we're happy with that number. It's in line with expectations for the first quarter, and we believe it's actually very good given the very tough environment, particularly still continuously low interest rates. Asset management is actually beating expectations because we would have expected with rising rates things to become tougher. It shows quality actually prevails under difficult times. We have more than half a billion in operating profit. And I may say at this point already, this is the quarter with the highest net income ever in asset management, 306 million. And that's despite remaining expenditures on the B units. So it's a very, very good story also on a net income level. Corporate and other is in line And a few comments there. The banking that is included for shows the first time a positive result for many quarters. However, that is due to the fact that we have less losses. We really solved the situation in Eastern Europe and lower loss provisions. And it's also to be borne in mind in non-operating, you will see that later we have huge shifts. So net income is actually significantly lower than in prior year. You will see that later. Now, the non-operating items, therefore, on page number 11, you can easily see what made the difference. We have lower realized gains on the equity side, 216 million relative to 653, driven in particular by lower realized gains as indicated over the last year from ICBC. Just to remind us, it was 520 million in the first quarter of 10, and it was 129 this quarter. Just to preempt the question, as of March 31st, the unrealized gains that we have on ICBC amounted to 221 million. Now, on the other hand, impairments went slightly up on equities to 66 million, but they were down on debt securities relative to prior year, and that explains the total movement. Interest expense on external debt is stable, fully consolidated private equity losses are down, but we still have some restructuring charges unusually low this quarter, and acquisition-related expenses in line with expectation at 101 and improved around 100 million over prior year. As we bought now 88.4% of all B units, around 17,000 are still outstanding, the smaller amount, and that those will likely disappear until 2016. Now, last comment, in line with year-end disclosure, I separated out amortization of intangibles and income from financial assets and liabilities carried at fair value within other non-operating. Here you see the biggest swing that is important to note relative to the prior year. It's a minus 96 and it was plus 83. The key driver here is the volatility in the Hartford warrants. The swing 237 out of the total decline stem from a decrease in the change in the fair value of the Hartford warrants. And we'll talk probably around that a little more. The underlying driver is the following. The Hartford increased the dividends. The share price didn't move correspondingly, and that reduces the value of the warrants. There's not much more to really be said in detail. Last comment on this page, balance of unrealized gains and losses declined somewhat in equities, but more importantly on fixed income in line with interest rates going up. Now the balance stands at 1.5 billion. Now, net income, page number 12, you see the higher tax payment that I mentioned earlier. We had an effective tax rate of 38.4% in the first quarter. Now, why is that higher? It has something to do with the fact that the significant part of the net cat losses that we've booked in jurisdictions that have a very low marginal tax rates. Now, that's very nice when we have low losses and high profitability. That obviously reverses itself when we have high losses, and that happened in this quarter. This is no indication of the yearly tax number. We expect a normalization and reversion to the expected rate of around 30% over the year. In the prior year, just to remind us all, the tax payments were significantly lower. We had 19.5% marginal tax rate because of some very benign one-off effects. So the swing is obviously very significant, and I think that's often been overlooked. Again, both numbers are not representative and will normalize over the year. So much for the group. I'd like to now move to the P&C segment, page 14 onwards. Now, what's the story on P&C beyond net cat? Revenues up 1.8% adjusted for foreign exchange, 20 basis points. Look at that in more detail. We have positive price effects in the portfolio, still some volume losses where we have in markets where we don't have an appropriate profitability. Operating profit down 6.9%, particularly due to net cat. Combined ratio therefore stands 101.3. We actually believe this is a very good number in line of almost 740 million in net cat losses. In many prior years where we had these very high losses, we had different combined. That has something to do with the fact that we're also taking care of it in terms of planning. I'll hit that in a second. And therefore, we believe we have a resilient portfolio overall, given those losses. Page number 15 gives you the revenue developments. It's consistent with what we have seen in the past. We still have markets where profitability is insufficient to grow. That's Germany's slight decrease. We have France, slighter decrease, and we'll talk about that. Italy is still letting, that's cleaning, particularly in commercial lines. And we have reinsurance, which is a technical effect because the Munich Re quota share is running out. In Eastern Europe, we still have some effects through lower car sales after the crisis that is going to rebound, we believe. And in the United States, to finish with the last item on the page, we are still having very low profitability in commercial lines and are cleaning the portfolio. Now, the growth that you see net of foreign exchange of 20 basis points has two components. Again, lower volume, that's about 60 basis points on the revenue side, and 80 basis points higher prices. So the good news is the price increases that we have pulled through last year are actually manifesting themselves in revenues, and you will see in a second also manifesting themselves in improved combined ratios. So while this process is slow, it is consistent over time, and we're seeing improvements as you see. Now, page 16 gives you the split up by underwriting, investment income, and others, including fees. No surprise, investment income is somewhat counterbalancing the underwriting effects. We are on plan here. The lower underwriting is obviously due to higher volume of net cat, higher by exactly 182 million euros. We had, on the other hand, further improvements in credit and improvements in the big four, France, Italy, Germany, and the United States. And some runoff in here as well, which I'm going to talk about. The combined ratio, page 17, has two components, and the expense ratio is down relative to year-end to 28% and flat relative to the prior year, so at least stable news on this front. On the right-hand side, you see the net cat impact, which the impact that we have singled out. Just a comment on Germany, we have a very little net cat impact in the first quarter in Germany from a small flood in eastern Germany. Some people have noted that we haven't heard about it. Now, you shouldn't have heard about it because it's really small. It's only 3 million, and unless you live in eastern Germany, it's a no event. But most of that have been accounting runoff from the fourth quarter of 2010. The rest is really what has been impacted in the first quarter, reinsurance in particular, through primary and third party, AGCS, Australia was really hammered, and the United States, where the story is continuing. We'll talk about subsequent events probably later. That's the overview. On page number 18, you see the various impacts, what we have booked relative to the pro rata net cat budget of 267 million, the biggest part coming from Japan, then New Zealand and Australia. Now, page number 19 is more for illustration purposes. Page number 19 is a new chart we put in just to remind us that net cat activity very often in recent years has been strong in the first quarter and then tapers off throughout the year. That must not be this way always. Always, because sometimes we have in the third quarter additional activity. But because of these patterns, we should not extrapolate the losses that we have seen in the first quarter. Second, we have deliberately increased our net cat budget over recent years. When I came here, we had 2% of net cat budget included, but because we have been increasing our retentions and we've seen increasing net cat activity, we've moved the budget up to 2.8% of our target combined ratio. That's around 1.1 billion. So even with the high losses, we have around 400 million in net cat budget for the year left. So that's the two pieces of information I wanted to leave you with. They are not a ruler, but they give you an indication of why we're expecting normalization over the year. Now, obviously, in order to make getting closer back to our original target of 96 combined, we need to obviously see very good quarters during the rest of the year. Page number 20 gives you the usual information on the big five. I've included here the accident loss year loss ratio, so no runoff included here, separating out net cat and large claims. In four out of the five, we have a good trend that we expect to continue. So it's in line with expectations. In Germany, we still have some work to do, and the new team is particularly working on claims in order to get that done. Also, a message here, people have asked us continuously, what is the situation in the German market? Will it turn? I have a very dim outlook because there's a lot of excess capital still in the market. It actually increased in the last year, despite what's happening in motor and the noise. So improvements will have to come from management achievement and the work of our employees and not the help of the market. That's, by the way, true for most of what we do. Now, page number 21 gives you some interesting detail on the accident year loss ratio. And we've had the debate amongst many of us here of what would be the trend in the Allianz portfolio. I'm actually very happy with the picture, particularly when you look at the upper right-hand side. We are stabilizing clearly below the 70% mark here, and you see sort of the price increases coming through. When you look to the lower left-hand side, while frequency and severity are increasing by around 30 basis points in the portfolio on that accident year loss ratio, the price increase is more than double relative to that. So it's very good news. We're getting actually profitability improvement through price increases on the loss ratio. Let me make a comment on the runoff, because people are asking, so what is normal, blah, blah, blah. And I've said many times that we, in times like this, need to expect larger runoff than usual. Why is that? The first thing has been the financial crisis. In the financial crisis, we had a lot of large claims, which we very carefully reserve. And over time, we run them off, and it just shows the strength of our reserving process that these reserves come up. The second is, with increasing net cat activity, we also reserve them very carefully. So when you have more net cat, you will have to expect, if you reserve conservatively, also more runoff over time. Now, in this quarter, we had a third effect. Last year, and I've mentioned that, we have started the novation of an external reinsurance contract that involved Allianz Global and Specialties, Allianz ART, and NuRe in Switzerland. And we booked two effects already. One was last year and one was this year. Yeah, so the real runoff out of the book, excluding that single contract, amounts to 3.1%, which is in line with expectations. So this is what I'd like to say on the technicalities. In my mind, a pretty reassuring picture how robust our portfolio is. Now, if you ask then the final question, just to get that out so out of way, now, where did you have the runoff? We had some runoff in Allianz Re that comes out of actually a runoff out of credit, crisis events, some group cat pools and others. And then we have AGCS. I just mentioned that. And the credit insurance having directly another 21%. That is the majority of the runoff. So it's not coming out of units, for example, where you would, if you were negative, suspect supporting of local results. We don't do that. Now, expenses, page 22. Underlying development is flat here. Our work on the admin side is really paying off, as you see that. Now, you will counter and saying, yeah, that's all fine, but the acquisition expenses are going up. Commissions are largely stable, but the other acquisition expenses. That is true. We have very fierce competition, and to serve our clients in this environment and to retain the profitable clients, we have to invest, and that is reflected here. My view is we are preparing for an upcycle in the right way because we should get leverage out of improving markets. And I think when you look at the share of profitable clients, from our perspective, that's exactly the right thing to do. Doesn't mean we need to not look at continuous improvements, however. They have to be structural, i.e. we need to get stronger in direct distribution that is structurally lower cost. We need to look at factor cost, and we need to look at complexity reductions, particularly on the product and distribution side. Now, let me move to the three last slides on P&C. The first two pertain to the investment portfolio. It's growing to $96.3 billion. What is driving that? The first thing is we increased the reserves. The reserve base is growing, and obviously the equity part of it, i.e. through retained earnings, is also increasing our asset base in P&C. We need a growing asset base given the reduced yield environment. Now, the second thing is on the right-hand side, debt security current yields are in line with expectation. The yield on equity is better than last year, and we have had higher dividend income, particularly in P&C, at Allianz in Germany and in Italy from associated enterprises. This is aligned with economic recovery. Now, operating investment income is therefore at a high level. You see that at page 24 with 823 million in line what we would like to see. So now we get really to the last page. What is the pricing outlook? What has been the price impact year to date on renewals and the nominal price increases? And we also need to bear in mind what is happening, what is the dynamic. Now, one thing that's very important that people think through the mix of what are price increases we have already put into the portfolio. So, for example, in Italy, we have achieved effective price increases in the portfolio of already 7%. And when you think about price increases going forward, now we have the decision where we got good price increases and margin improvements. Are we now targeting volume growth or further price increases? So as you interpret these numbers, don't take them single dimensionally, but we, for example, in credit insurance have seen sufficient price increases. We're now looking for volume growth. We rather actually, because we have such strong margins, want to grab market share and grow the overall market than push the margin point too much. And we'll have that decision coming up in various markets where we've seen good combined ratio improvements too. So the price outlook needs to be reflected upon in light of what we already have achieved. So these are my comments on prices, more probably later from your side. Let's move on, please, to life and health, starting on page 27. Revenue stand at 14.3, again, relative to record quarter one, down 7.1%. But here's the very important message. We had 1.7 billion net inflows despite the very tough environment, and we'll look at them in more detail. We are always either flat or up, except for Italy, where we have a specific issue relative to a bank distribution that is going to be addressed throughout the year. Operating profit, again, on track to the upper boundary of our targets. Now, the value of new business is good at 240 million. It has grown now for two quarters from a low point in the third quarter of 2010, where we had record low interest rates, and the new business margin of 2.2% is actually pretty good in light of the environment. Here, we have a little bit of a technical effect that I will explain later that is holding that number down a bit. 28 gives you the split of growth. Now, when you look at the German number, it looks like an error, but it isn't. It's exactly the same number for this quarter than it was a year ago, and the German number is actually better than we expected. We had so much single premiums last year from large contracts that we got from institutional clients that have not come that we didn't expect that high volume, but the distribution through Commerzbank is kicking off, particularly with traditional products that are very attractive to us. So actually the business mix in Germany has further improved. So that's very good news. Switzerland is growing nicely. Now, France, we had a very strong campaign that was crediting 4.1% to clients last year. We have discontinued that, and that's good news in light of the reduced interest rates. But we are comfortable that France will do well over the year in terms of top line. Italy, we last year had Scudo Fiscale, you know that, all the money that ebbs and flows back and out of Italy. Now this time we had an amnesty, so money flew back and we profited from it. This didn't repeat itself this year. The Benelux strongly up, Spain up, and Asia Pacific down. There is also our Japanese business affected, of course, given the NetCat events that we had, and Eastern Europe still having some outflow effects of the financial crisis, and the U.S. is doing really, really well, and as you will see in a second, also with excellent margins. We have done a very good job there, I think, in terms of using the opportunity of rising rates to get more margin out of our business. Page number 29 gives you the net flow numbers that I look at more than top line. 1.7 billion, I mentioned Germany having net flows of 300 million, which is very good news given the environment. Italy, I've mentioned. Asia Pacific is growing 300 million in terms of net flows, very important. And the rest of the portfolio, 800 million, which is also a strong number, leading to 1.7 billion up, which is not small. If you look at prior years before, the numbers was rather around a half a billion. You know, so that's a very good number, in, at least in terms of Allianz history. Now, page 30 gives you the movement of the operating profit and the various drivers. On the technical result, there's actually not much to be talked about. A few methodological changes, particularly around lapse assumptions, yeah, that changing interest rate environment will change customer behavior, which we're reflecting here. And the second is investment results. And the key driver is here we have changed crediting assumption according to also changing interest rates and the need to reinforce the balance sheets for an interest rate up scenario. And we're very happy to do that because it will pay off in the long run. Expense ratio further improved by 24 million. Page number 31 gives you the view of the asset base. I don't want to really spend a lot of time on it. It's up 8%, which is very, very good. On the yield side, it's just to mention the equity component is not the same as it is for equities, obviously, because we have a different structure here and different types of equity exposures. The operating investment income, page 32, is with 4.1 billion at a very good level. And we have refrained, let me iterate that, we have refrained from taking additional gains in order to support quarterly earnings numbers. We had a discussion amongst us in the first quarter of 2010 because there were various questions around what are the gains and others are taking gains. We don't want to do that. We have a long-term plan on how we think about a sustainable level of realized gains and losses depending on the capital market environment, and we stick to that policy. Now, new business profitability, page 33. New business margin is up from the fourth quarter to 2.2%, and it would have been up more, but in particularly in the German-speaking countries, because of the long-duration cash flows and still very high volatility on the long-term rates, that affects new business margin negatively, and that is a lag effect. Also because of the way we compute some of these numbers, I'm actually very positive around the trend in the new business margin going forward, and that you can see on page 34, which gives you a very good picture of the development between the fourth quarter and the first quarter of this year across all segments, and in particular in the U.S., it has doubled. It's significantly up in growth markets. It's significantly up in Europe, and it's even up again on the long-duration liabilities in the German-speaking companies, most notably in Germany. So I think that's good news, particularly reflecting the fact that we are still at interest rate levels below where we were in the first quarter of 2010. So I'd like to close on the life segment here. As you know, we don't do a full disclosure on MCV in the first quarter. We'll do an update at the middle of the year to just keep track of it. MCV development was also positive in the first quarter as well, not surprisingly. Now, asset management is always a nice one to hit last in the segments in recent quarter because the contribution of our colleagues has been, again, distinctive. Total asset assets under management stand at 1492. It would have been 50 billion higher if it wasn't for FX. It always works both ways. We'll see that in a second. Inflows, 14 billion. Many of our competitors had outflows of significant level. We still record good inflows. Operating profit is up in line with asset growth, and the cost-income ratio is still extremely strong at 58.5%. Page 37 gives you the details. Relative to year-end, the number is reduced. Out of the 54 billion, by the way, the third-party number that you might want to ask for is 51 billion. So it's 51 billion FX effect on the third-party assets under management. Page 38 gives you the net flow numbers, also the details between fixed income and the various other items. Actually, fixed income is the wrong word. Let me talk about the business units. PIMCO was 14.9 net up. AGI Germany is 1.7 billion down, and that is an effect of outflows of out of the equity side, but inflows on fixed income, the fixed income side, and then we have some smaller outflows in France and in Italy that are in line with what the market would do. Now, 39 gives you the development of net fee and commission income. We've always said performance fees are very volatile. They've been amounting to 56 million in the first quarter, which is not bad, but below what the prior year number was, of course, below what the fourth quarter number was 225. But despite that, our profitability is significantly up, and that's great news. And on page 40, you also see the growth, therefore, in operating profit, because the net fee income significantly outgrew operating expense income. And as I've said before, it is noteworthy to look at net income, 306 million for the quarter, the highest ever recorded for asset management. Now, just a quick look at the individual segments, fixed income and equity, on pages 41 and 42. I don't know what to say on fixed income. Outperformance now 92%, and that's really great. When we had prior, not just the flow numbers, but the operating profit number and the gross margins, you see an uptick here. We've really isolated us from the Bill Gross's flagship fund. The PIMCO is moving into other products that have better margins and less volatility, so it's also reflecting strategy here, which is very good news. What is also good news on page 42 is the profitability in equity has further increased, not just in absolute numbers to 34, but also in terms of cost-income ratio, which is now below 74% at 73.5%. Which is also really, really, really nice. So in summary, despite the heavy hits that we had to take out of NetCat, and guess what, we're here for that. Yeah, that's our job in society, to be there for our clients when things get tough. We had near record levels of revenues. We have a resilient operating profit at 1.7 billion. The net income reflecting special effects that will taper out over the year, and a strong capital position. And that's why your top management, Allianz, feels confident to be on track to still make our full year numbers. And thanks for listening. Now we are ready for your questions.